So we're jumping into the middle of a series. For those of you who were at camp, it might not seem strange, but those of you who were here last week, it might seem a bit disconnected. This is the second in a series that we're doing through Joshua 1:9. And last week, I know that you had some great highlights here. I hear it was a great service, and Marlene Ferguson spoke on Isaiah 43, I think. And I hear it was a great service. We had a great time at camp as well. We had a great time of connecting with one another, and we did go through Joshua 1:9 a bit. Some of the highlights of camp were food, of course. The food was fantastic, and a big thanks to the people that were involved in that. And there were a lot of good highlights, but really what happened that was the most significant thing was just the togetherness and the relationships that were built. And for those of you who were unable to make it, love to see you out there next year. We're going to see if we can have more of our seniors come out, maybe get a van or something to bring you out to camp for one day, something that works for you. So look forward to that next year. We actually had a high tea, and it was awesome. Actually, if you ask the children and the teenagers what their highlights were, they might actually say the high tea was great. They really liked it. So they sat down with their fine bone china and with some people who were older than them, various degrees of older, and had tea and chatted, and it was a great time. So we also did some active things too, but lip sync battles, that was awesome. That was awesome, gotta admit. I wished I had done one, maybe next year. So we are moving forward to this next sermon on Joshua, and I wonder if we could do this together. We actually had this sign at camp, and we read this together. And I'm not quite sure what angle to hold this at to get you to all read it, but this is Joshua 1:9, and maybe just take a look at that. Can you like get that in your memory really quick? Okay, let's try this, okay? Be strong and courageous for the... Oh. Well, that didn't work quite as well as I thought, but I think you did a really good job, but it's kind of need a 3D sign to make that work, don't we? These people in Joshua actually needed a reason for encouragement. Like whenever someone gives encouragement, you must understand that there's got to be some need. People need encouragement when you offer encouragement. It usually doesn't come from nowhere. There's a sense that someone needs encouragement. And the Israelites had been journeying, and they'd been journeying to get to this land that was promised to them, and they were actually quite discouraged. So Moses was their leader, and they'd been wandering the desert for years after being released from Egypt, 40 years. And they get to this land being led by Moses, and Moses was an incredible leader, and he actually wasn't permitted to enter into the land as their leader. He got to look at it, but he didn't get to go into the land. He didn't make it in. And there were two men that emerged as leaders for the Israelites. There were Joshua and Caleb. Now, Joshua and Caleb were kind of like scouts or spies. And when they got to this land of Canaan, they went into the land and took a look. And they came back with reports that it was awesome and ripe for the taking and that the Lord would go with them. They were bold. While the other people came back and said, there's giants there. They're big. Let's just go back to Egypt. It's safer there. Let's just play it safe. So Moses actually named Joshua the leader for the Israelites. And he gave him these words, be strong and be courageous. Those were his words to Joshua himself. And maybe that's something we all know. Maybe it's something so obvious that we don't need to say that it's good to be strong and courageous, but it's one of those things that again and again, as life hits us, as we journey together, that we need to be reminded of. Do we always feel strong? Do we always feel courageous? No, right? We don't. Actually, sometimes we feel pretty weak and pretty timid. And fear is powerful. Fear leads to bad decisions. Fear leads to words spoken in anger and misunderstanding. Fear leads to missed opportunities. And fear, most of all, is the inability to have faith in all that God has for us. So just like those Israelites, we need a reminder. We need a push in the right direction. And we need it modeled about how to be strong and how to be courageous, because it is not easy. Because being fearful is normal. It's natural. It seems to be the default, doesn't it? To be fearful. Because being strong and courageous is maybe one of the least natural things, one of the least natural tendencies that we have in life situations. And it's a habit, it's a way that needs to be cultivated. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So these Israelites who were freed from captivity, who had God's presence with them, leading them through the desert, who had a leader like no other, Moses, who'd seen miracle after miracle, were afraid. They were scared. They were trembling at the knees. They were so afraid. And their fear paralyzed them. It threatened to freeze them and to keep them perpetually wandering in the desert in this no man's land. And they needed this encouragement. Be strong and courageous. And I want us to remember that God's plan for humanity was never just that he was going to create one nation, one ethnic group, and forget about the rest of the people in the world. It was to be a light to the world, to introduce goodness and justice and grace and holiness and mercy, and ultimately to redeem all of humanity and to redeem creation through the death and resurrection of Jesus. So this is a big deal. And their mission was the land, and it was part of what God was doing. It was a beginning. He was creating a people for his name who would be holy and a foretaste of the new people under God through Jesus. And for that, they needed to be strong. Now, I want to today look at strength in two ways. I want to look at it according to how the word is used in this passage and context. And I want to look at it in a theological sense, in a broader sense. So first of all, the word itself in the Old Testament, and particularly in Joshua, how it's used and how the word strength is used. Strength is the capacity to keep going when we feel like all we want to do is give up. Strength is the capacity to withstand great force or pressure. It's not about so much how much you can lift or bench press or whatever. Penny, I'm looking at you laughing because Penny's a power lifter, so of course she caught my eye and I knew what she was thinking. She was thinking bench press. It's not so much about how much you can lift or how hard you can hit. It means to grab hold of, to seize onto, and to never let go. It's more about hanging in there with this stick-with-itness. That's more what strength is like here. It's less a measure of how much power can be exerted and more a measure of how much power can be absorbed. One of my favorite people of all times, it's this man that you've probably heard of named Rocky Balboa. You guys know Rocky Balboa? He's like not really fake. He's kind of real, right? I mean, he lives in our minds. He looms big. And let me tell you, there's this scene in one of the latest Rocky movies, Rocky 8. I'm not sure which one it is. And he's talking to his son, and his son is actually in life going through a hard time, and he's become kind of this bitter young man. And this is what Rocky tells him. Let me tell you something that you already know. The world ain't all surprises and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place. And I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you down to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Yeah. Right? And back to my normal voice. Not by how hard you can hit, but by how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. That's a lot like our definition of strength here in these verses. Stand firm, hold fast, don't give up. It's a measure of encouragement that resounds all through the book of Joshua, these words of empowerment. And it comes across in different ways, but this same phrasing comes across 6 times in this book, notably at the beginning, starting in the very first chapter, and right near the end. So this is a dominant theme in the book of Joshua. Be strong and courageous. That's what it means to be my people. That's what it's going to take. Be strong, resolute, tenacious. Seize, grab onto. Hold on to the promises of God and never let go. Hold on to those promises. And we know by context over and over again that this wasn't the type of strength, wasn't the other type of strength that we're talking about here. God didn't choose the Israelites because they were the strongest, the biggest, the fastest. He chose them because they were the least of the peoples. And he says he has loved them because he loved them. It's pretty good circular reasoning, right? I loved you because I loved you. That expresses the essence of feelings of real love, I think, doesn't it? Because sometimes we're in these relationships and we go, I love you because I love you. That's the best I can do. We love someone because we love them. And the psalmist writes, it's not by might or by sword or by chariot that you will prevail, but by the hand of God. Have I not commanded you? Be strong, be courageous. Never let go, never give up. Seize on to the promises of God. And that's exactly what God required and desired of the Israelites that he so rarely saw. He wanted them to seize on to the promises of God, to grab a hold of them and never let go. Now, I want to look at strength theologically. And in particular, I want to look at how Jesus practiced strength and what strength looked like for Jesus as our model. We just went through a series in Revelation, and it was one of the most striking images in Revelation was this lamb with 7 eyes and 7 horns. There was actually a lion that looked like a lamb that was standing there looking like it had just been slain. And we know that the 7 horns represented strength, ultimate strength, because there were 7. And the 7 eyes represented ultimate wisdom because there were 7 of them. And what we learn about the lamb is that he doesn't dish out hurt. He doesn't dish out violence. He absorbs it. He takes it in. And that is humility and true strength. And we learn about the cross as the cross actually doesn't dish out hurt, but absorbs hurt and puts out healing and reconciliation. You know, that's our model of strength. And for us personally, our models personally, I think a lot of us have been deceived about what true strength really is like. As we got this idea that strength is about never showing weakness, never showing your soft side. True strength is patterned after Jesus, after the Lamb, where he absorbs. It's not how much punishment you can dish out. It's how much you can absorb and keep moving forward. That's true strength. True strength is hanging on to people, to relationships, to justice, and to mercy when others would give up. True strength is living by and pouring out the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. And with those and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can be more like Jesus and absorb hurts and heal others. You know, there's this term in Christian theology that we call sanctification, and really it's just a fancy word for us to become more like Jesus, to be more like this Lamb who absorbs hurts and puts out healing. That's what we're called to be as God's people. And that's the goal of our journey with Christ. And we're called to be these agents of reconciliation and healing, and we need strength for that. There's also this idea of corporate strength. That's us together as the church. How we need to be resilient. How we need to hang on there when others don't want to hang on as a local church. And for us as the church in the world, real strength is not about domination and control and exerting power and influence. Real strength is the ability to absorb hurt and dish out healing in all that we do. Now, I want to bring this alongside Matthew 22, verses 37 to 40, which we heard read during the worship service. But I'd like to read this to you again. When he was asked what the greatest command was, Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second one is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on to these two commands." You know, this is patterned after this thing called the Shema. And the Shema was this recital that the Jews would do three times a day. And they had them written on their foreheads in little boxes. And it was to remind them of how important this was, that they were to love God and others more than anything. It's the defining characteristic of our faith. And they're tied together. You can't say that you love God if you don't love others. And if you love others and don't love God, you're not truly loving them. They're tied together. And this outweighs everything. This is our standard. Love God and love others. Now, if we think we are being righteous but don't show love for others, we're way off base. We need to constantly keep going back to this. You know, this section in Matthew captures this theme called shalom, which is extending God's peace and grace and mercy, extending this radical welcome that God has, God's welcome to others. That's what this is all about, is extending that welcome to those who normally aren't welcomed, to the outcasts, to the hurting, to the marginalized, to the poor, to the rich, to everyone. We are to share God's welcome with each other and with the world. So here's the thing. Our mandate as God's people, we are called to go forth boldly, to step out, to seek out, to bring life. We're called to do that with strength and tenacity. Some words that you might hear over and over again in the next little while as we go through this visioning process, which is actually just a fancy word. I don't know if it's a fancy word. It's a pretty easy word, actually. Another word for discernment. We are discerning as a church how God has uniquely called us with the people that we have called here, that gather here together and live here and want to seek out God's shalom for others. Some of this stuff doesn't require discernment, right? We know we're supposed to love God and love others. We don't have to discern that. But how are we to do that uniquely as God's people here? That's what requires discernment. And we've understood as a church that we want to reach out to others and share God's welcome through worship, community, and mission. But somehow, those words were missing it a bit for us. And this is all just part of, I'm including you in this thinking. So instead of worship, we're actually moving towards this idea of presence. It's a word that we've heard you say a lot. It's a word that we believe God is speaking to us about. What does it mean for us to gather and to experience God's presence and then to go out and to be God's presence? What does that look like for us? Another word that's been challenging for us was community. So we talk about community, and what we found was that when we mention the word community, people think out there, the neighborhood. And really what we meant was spiritual formation and discipleship. And we feel that a much better word that captures who we are as a church and what we've heard from you and what we believe we've heard from God is the word belonging. We think everyone needs to belong. And that's what we're about, is extending this belonging to other people and to each other. And finally, mission. We just met our mission director today, Adrian Gerber. And I don't know if he feels like we're already changing things on him, maybe. But he knows all this stuff. So, because he was part of the vision task force. So we're thinking mission is this idea of what does it look like for us to share that welcome, to extend God's grace and mercy and absorb that hurt and extend healing to the world? And we really believe that the word sharing might capture that. And when you hear sharing, if you're from a long history of church background, that might be mixed baggage for you. It might bring up images, but we don't mean it like that. We mean sharing God's welcome. We mean sharing our stuff with people. We mean sharing God's goodness. And it's a simple word. Sharing, belonging, and presence. They're all things that we feel God is calling us to. And God is a God of welcome. And that welcome is at the heart of what God through Jesus and now the Holy Spirit is about. Because we know that right from the beginning, that God was all about creating a people for his name, a people that would represent his goodness and his will for creation and the world. And that mission of God has gained momentum. And today, as his people, we are called to welcome people in to his community that we call the church. We're called to welcome people into his presence and to be that presence for others. And we gather to worship and we gather to experience and to feel and to touch something of the presence of God. And a big part of that is you and me, us. We are the presence of God to each other as well. We have a role to play. So when we welcome people into this facility to join us as a church, it's an offering, an experience that we call worship, and we want people to belong. We're called to have strength in belonging. Because this is about being devoted to each other, finding time to invest. Relationships are like an investment. We find time for what we value. What have you found time for in your life? I wonder if you can take a moment to think about that. These things are good things in and of themselves, but maybe we find time for sports or for leisure or for ourselves. But what we love is displayed by how we live and by the choices that we make. I love this quote by Annie Dillard. You've probably heard me say it before. How you live your days is, of course, how you live your life. It's really an arresting quote, isn't it? How you live your days is how you live your life. Because those things, the things that we find time for, the things that we have found time for in our lives, the things that we spend time doing, are the things that are important to us. That's just the honest truth of the matter. Those are just the facts. And they're pretty sobering. If you say community and belonging and journeying with other Christians is the most important thing, but we structure our lives in such a way that this cannot happen, then it's actually the lowest priority. And the fact is, it does not matter. Belonging with strength means being devoted and not letting go, not running away when things get tough, and being there as a priority for each other. We need to have strength in sharing the welcome of God with others and going out and extending God's welcome to those who need it. They might want it. They might not. It might be again and again being rejected. And being strong means not giving up, but sticking in there. It means being an offering. and sometimes having what you offer being trampled on. It means that we give of ourselves, of our time, we give ourselves financially, we give of ourselves and share our stuff. And it's not always easy, and we do that with tenacity. My dad used to tell me he was a commando. We all kind of knew it wasn't true, but we all kind of liked to believe it. And he'd tell us these stories about how he was this commando, and he'd be training up in the Arctic, all these secret missions that he would be on, and he'd be wearing these white suits and all this. And as we got older, we started to think, I don't think these stories are true. I don't think this is actually something that really happened, and maybe it was a representation of a dream he had, I don't know, but there were fun stories. He used to teach us these judo moves that he said were special forces moves, and you know, that he would pin us and say, this is what we learn in special forces. But one of the things that I remember that was great was that he said, no, commandos, if you're gonna give someone a hand, a commando never actually goes and grabs someone's hand. Dale, come here. You never go like, this is a commando. This is not strong enough. But what you do is you go like this, right? And you can hang, pull. Come on. Yeah. Pull. Yeah, look at that. Look how strong that is. Right? He's tenacious. That grip is the tenaciousness of strength and never letting go that we need to have together as a church. And I pray that as we journey forth with this vision, we can grab hold of those promises with tenaciousness like that and never let go. Let's pray together.